The Biden administration said yesterday that 2,500 Afghans who worked for the U.S. will be evacuated, along with their families, to a military base in Virginia. But thousands of others face an uncertain fate once American troops leave the region. According to the military news site Task and Purpose, an estimated 70,000 Afghans who worked for the U.S. government are at risk of being killed by the Taliban. And while the administration says it is committed to evacuating eligible Afghan allies, details about those plans have yet to emerge. For more on this, we called up Krish O'Mara Vignaraja, president and CEO of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. Her group has been in communication with the Biden administration, advocating for Afghan allies and providing recommendations for their evacuation and resettlement. And she's with us now. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Krish, the Biden administration's announcement yesterday included just a small portion of the Afghan allies who were eligible to be evacuated, just 2,500. Why so few?
Well, it seems like the administration is rolling this out in stages, which is a little concerning because obviously there are tens of thousands of Afghans who risk their lives in order to protect ours. And as the Taliban gains power and territory, the danger they face is growing by the day.
And how many more then could be on the way? And will they come here to the U.S. or could they also be resettled in allied countries?
Yeah, so we've been talking about a total of 18,000 Afghan allies and their families, which would add about 53,000 or so. You know, we understand the sensitivity of military operations, but the truth is there are a lot of questions that remain in terms of the who, when, and where.
I see. So definitely some logistics still to be worked out. What else do we know about how this process is going to work? And let's remind listeners, too, of who exactly we're talking about. What kinds of work were these folks doing for our troops on the ground in Afghanistan over these last couple of decades?
Yes, over the past 20 years, these Afghan allies have faithfully served alongside the U.S. troops and our embassy at great personal risk. They had our backs, and now they have a growing target on theirs. So what we've learned so far is that evacuation flights will begin next week, and they will focus on that initial group of 700. But beyond that, the administration has been quiet on many other details of the evacuation. It's not clear what will happen to the vast majority of SIVs. Thus far, it's been reported that they will relocate to U.S. military bases overseas or to third countries for temporary processing. But there are some real concerns we have about the locations that are being considered, particularly countries with human rights abuse records who are not party to the Refugee Convention.
And SIV stands for Special Immigrant Visa, for anyone who wasn't familiar with the acronym. I imagine one of the challenges, too, Krish, is the effort to include family members. How broad do we go? We're just talking about immediate family members. That could be a complication here.
We are talking about immediate family members, but I do think that there is a broader set of questions of what about those individuals who may not qualify under the traditional SIV criteria, but frankly, the Taliban don't care whether these individuals worked for us for 2 months or 2 years. The current requirement is that an SIV applicant have worked for a minimum of 2 years. And so one question we have is, what about those individuals who served for 18 months, let's say? Do we leave them behind in grave danger?
You know, there's really two important steps in the process, too. There's getting them out, of course, the evacuation process, and then there's the resettlement process. Let's talk a little bit more about the evacuation process first, Krish, because we have a number of lawmakers in both major parties who are here in the U.S., and they're calling for changes to the process for approving these special immigrant visas. And one of the criticisms is that this required medical exam delays the process. Mm-hmm. There's, I think, just one main hospital in Kabul that does much, if not all, of those exams, and that really slows things down. This is a process that, as I understand it, is supposed to happen in a matter of months, but as you've written in the Washington Post, sometimes stretches out for several years.
Right. And that's why it has been heartening to see one bill that would postpone the medical exam requirement until applicants arrive in the U.S. There is extremely limited access to the clinic, as you mentioned, in Afghanistan, and so it has created a huge logjam in the process. This is a process that, by law, is supposed to take a maximum of 9 months. The tragic reality is that, on average, it has taken closer to 3 years. And so beyond the 2,500 that are in the very final stages of processing who will come here to the U.S., to Fort Lee, our question is, what will happen to the other, the tens of thousands of Afghans who have been waiting for years in danger? And I think there's still some key questions in terms of how are we going to increase our capacity to process their applications.
Yeah, and I think one of those key questions is just how big of a scale we're talking about here. So as you mentioned, there's the 2,500 in the announcement yesterday. Just last week, the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said that about 20,000 Afghans have already applied for the special immigrant visa program that would allow them to be evacuated. But some estimates range much higher, that the actual number of eligible Afghans could be tens of thousands more than that. I mean, do we know what the proper figure is, Krish, and who could be left behind?
We get our numbers primarily from the State Department. So as you said, what we know is that there are about 9 to 10,000 that are in the early stages of processing, and there are about 9 to 10,000 who have submitted documents and they're working their way through the process. But the truth is, when you think about how many Afghan allies helped the U.S. mission over the course of two decades, we do believe that a more accurate assessment is really closer to even, 100,000. And so I think this is one issue that congressional members have also addressed, which is who are the individuals who qualify? Senator Leahy, for example, has introduced legislation suggesting that we should reduce the employment requirement from 2 years to 1 year of eligibility.
And what are the stakes here, Krish? I mean, these are folks who worked for Americans. They may, in some cases, have targets on their backs for that reason as the Taliban moves in. What kind of danger are they facing if they are not evacuated?
We sadly have heard example after example of interpreters, drivers, engineers who have been targeted, who have been killed by the Taliban. That's why we have been advocating that this evacuation happen for many months now. And it's not just the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do. We know that for us to fight 21st century wars, we need local allies. And if we don't keep our promise, that will be something that other allies will remember.
So looking ahead, there are very few U.S. troops remaining in Afghanistan. Remember, the target deadline to get out is the end of August. And U.S. Central Command says that more than 90% have already withdrawn. Do you have any concern about continuing the evacuations once all of these troops leave at the end of next month?
We do. Well, there's a couple key concerns and questions that remain outstanding. One is, how are we communicating? How do we get evacuation instructions out to those that are eligible? How do we do that in an orderly fashion? Reports estimate that almost half of the Afghan allies that we're talking about do not live in the capital. And so they will almost certainly have to travel through Taliban-controlled territory to access evacuation flights. And last week, Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby said that DOD has not been asked to support any transportation of allies into Kabul to access relocation flights. So it would seem that right now Afghans are on their own to make this dangerous journey in a country that is continuing to see significant Taliban gains.
Krish, could you just pull the lens back a little bit and fill in some of the historical context? I mean, this is not the first time, of course, that the U.S. has sent troops into foreign countries, relied on local partners to make their way, and then tried to evacuate those folks. What's our track record on that front?
While we've evacuated allies more recently from Kosovo and Iraq, probably the most relevant in terms of size and scope is from the Vietnam era. As the war in Vietnam was coming to a close, the State Department initially prepared an evacuation plan for U.S. forces and approximately 18,000 Vietnamese allies and their families. So that's notable because almost 50 years later, today, we're also talking about approximately 18,000 allies and their families in Afghanistan. But we need to remember that the U.S.'s past evacuations are a matter of precedence, not prophecy. So just as practice makes perfect, planning makes perfect, because this is something that really should have been operationalized months ago. But we are grateful that we are starting to see some real efforts to address the situation. But these efforts need to be undertaken immediately.
Krish O'Mara Vignaraja is the president and chief executive of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. Krish, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.